This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about celebration food, which is the food eaten in Celebration, Florida, the planned community of the Walt Disney Company.
Wait, is that really what?
I think so.
What? Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
No, really, what we're talking about today is like what you eat for, like, family celebrations.
Well, this was sparked by listener email. So you can think of this entire episode as a spilled mail segment.
Great.
It was suggested by listeners Mission Maddie, who wrote, "Growing up in our family, when it's your birthday, you get to choose what to eat for lunch and dinner. Breakfast is usually a family tradition of two eggs cooked any way you want with whatever you want, preferably made for you by someone else." Well, it's your birthday. You can cook your own eggs. However, dinner is the birthday person's choice. My selection from about 4 years old onwards was Chinese-style lobster noodle, which has become my daughter's selection as well. It's not about the lobster. It's about the noodle. That sounds great. So we wondered what other families have as their celebration food, which could be to celebrate anything, not just a birthday and isn't just cake.
Okay. I love this. This made me think because...
Me too. This, like, I went places philosophically that I didn't expect to go.
Yeah. I want to start out talking about birthdays.
Yeah.
Because it made me realize that we don't have a lot of birthday traditions in my family. Like, neither my family of origin nor, like, the family that I have made as an adult. Like...
The family that you've sculpted.
There's really, like, no... I can't think of a single thing that we always do on a birthday.
No, I don't think we particularly have that either. Although, like, certainly, like, getting to choose what you eat and not having to do chores. Those are kind of the birthday traditions.
Interesting. Chores.
I usually wash the dishes after dinner, and if it's my birthday, wife of the show, Lori, will wash the dishes after dinner.
Okay.
That's
gosh, I don't even think we go that far in my household. Like, I truly
think...
Well, no, think,
that, I mean, that's going pretty far.
No, but I truly think that there is, like, nothing that... I mean, when I think about, like, things that we do that are, like, special on birthdays, other than, like, presents or whatever, the things that come to mind are only, like, the big and sort of rare occasions. Like,
yeah,
I remember in 2017 I wanted to go hiking for my birthday, so Ash and I both took off work and we went and hiked the Snow Lake Trail here in Washington State.
The spoiler alert, there's Snow Lake.
Good one. And then in 2018 it was my 40th birthday, so we actually had, like, a big party. But otherwise, like, I can't even think of something that I always eat or, like, something that always is done for me, or, like, we're definitely not, like, a breakfast in bed family.
No, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, no. And the other thing is, and here's something that I find myself thinking about, and maybe you do too, which is that I am far and away the main cook in my household.
Sure, me too.
And I like the way I make things.
Yeah.
So I don't want my spouse to make my coffee. Even on my birthday. I think that there are certain recipes that actually I might be like, Ash, would you make this thing that you're good at making? So just like because I enjoy it and then I also don't have to cook. But I think what's really tricky, and maybe I'm just a control freak or something, but I think maybe what I would want is maybe more freedom to do the things that I want to do for myself.
Oh, sure.
As opposed to maybe having somebody do things for me.
Yeah. So, like, I keep thinking of more celebration foods that we have that I didn't think of when I was, putting stuff on the agenda. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid...
Are we talking birthdays still here?
Yeah.
Or are we moving on to holidays?
I'm going to move on to holidays pretty quick.
Great. Okay.
So, for my birthday when I was a kid, I would always want Hot Lips Pizza, which was a local pizza chain in Portland. Mm-hmm. I would get, and I still get some often, like, want a pizza like this from Pagliacci, which is, like a local chain in Seattle, but I would get pepperoni, sausage, green pepper, mushroom, onion.
Okay,
would be
good.
My pick.
Yeah,
and those are kind of still my favorite pizza toppings.
Yeah.
So that was always a big hit. And this episode is coming out like right like a week after my birthday
and a week before mine.
Yes. So if you see us on the street, give us pizza.
Celebrate us.
So, yeah. If you see me walking by and the tear gets in my eye, look away.
And then celebrate us.
And then celebrate us.
But don't look at us.
But don't look at the tears.
Okay. What else from your childhood?
That song would for sure be on Cold FM.
I'm struggling to remember it.
It was Chicago.
Okay. Was that Peter Cetera?
Yeah, I think it was Peter. It might have been after Peter Cetera left the band and there was another guy who sounded like Peter Cetera.
Okay.
I think that might have been the case. I'm not sure.
Okay, so let's talk about holidays. Like celebration traditions around holidays.
Okay, we always have Cornish pasties for Thanksgiving. I've talked about it on the show a million times before.
Okay, my family does have we have a more conventional Thanksgiving, complete with the conventional things. We have particular mm-hmm. recipes we like, but I wouldn't call that like celebration food.
Right.
I am thinking, though, about Christmas.
All right.
So my Aunt Tina, my mother's twin sister, who lived in Northern California, I always associate this with her, the idea of having Dungeness crab on Christmas Eve.
Sure.
So even though the Dungeness spit and Dungeness crab, I associate much more with Washington State than with Northern California. When I was growing up in Oklahoma, like we did not get fresh Dungeness crabs,
sure.
right? And so it felt like a really big special thing when we would spend Christmas in California and have Dungeness crab on Christmas Eve. And now that I live on the West Coast and have for, 21 years this fall, I always have Dungeness crab, if not on Christmas Eve, sometimes on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
But always.
Our Christmas Eve tradition is homemade tamales.
Okay.
And we almost always do pork and red chili, mm-hmm. And we make a large number of them that will be like at least three meals worth.
Oh, that's great!
And I think we usually eat them on Christmas Eve, and then again sometime during the day on Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work, and it's always pays off.
And do you feel like your tamale technique has improved a lot?
Kind of no, because we only do it once a year. Like I think it probably has, but it's sort of hard to tell.
Yeah.
I'm still not good at spreading the masa on the husks.
I know. I feel like last October we did a dumpling night with some friends of ours where we made two different types of dumplings mm-hmm. and we made like hundreds of them. And they were so ugly. I mean, they were terrible. We were making like
sharp
pot stickers basically.
I'm good at folding those.
I bet you are. But it made me realize, like, God, if we did this every October, I don't even know if we'd get better because it would still only be once a year.
Right.
But
is this
like
what they
the
call
idea
high intensity interval training?
Yes, that's
okay.
Right. Okay. Another thing that we always do at Christmas and that now I do because June loves it so much is I make cinnamon rolls.
Nice.
And, you know, I don't love cinnamon rolls. I really don't.
I love cinnamon rolls. When they're good and gooey.
Give a fuck.
Interesting.
I make cinnamon rolls that I really like with like a cream cheese frosting. I think the dough's pretty good. June loves them. Brandon loves them. Ash loves them. I don't really care. If it were up to me,
but aren't you happy because your people are happy?
I am happy because my people are happy. If it were up to me, I would have scones, which is something that my sister kind of started a tradition of scones on Christmas morning.
That sounds good.
but nobody in my family likes scones as much as I do. So I'm screwed. I'm stuck with these cinnamon roll lovers.
I like scones. You could come over and make scones for me.
Okay.
So we have a dinner calendar that we've been keeping for years and years just on our Google Calendar. Mm-hmm. So I can look back like probably 10 years and see what we had for dinner on any given night. Mm. So I was able to look back and see that. So for Lori's birthday this year, we visited December at college and ate in an excellent fried chicken restaurant in Bellingham called Bantam that we really like. Mm-hmm. For December's birthday last year, we had bistro night featuring beef bourguignon. I don't remember what else, but that was the star. Mm-hmm. For my birthday last year, we had taco salad. And the year before that, I think we were on the Spilled Milk retreat and you made cacio e pepe.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
That was great.
That was a really good food retreat. We did green chili cheeseburgers the first night.
Yes.
And cacio e pepe on your birthday.
Yeah. I think we do birthday pizza a lot.
And this would be like takeout pizza.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I may be conflating two birthdays, but I think the most epic birthday eating we've ever done was for December's birthday in Tokyo in 2019. And you, Molly, were present for part of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we had breakfast at Mr. Donut.
Yep.
Lunch at Koko Ichiban Curry Chain.
Uh-huh.
And Okonomiyaki at Penguin Village for
yes!
dinner.
Yes.
So these were all December's picks. And we were like, yep, we could do all that in one day. And we did. It was amazing.
Oh, I love that. I don't think I'm ever going to keep a dinner calendar the way that you do, although I don't know why not, because I aspire to it, but I just don't think I'm going to get around to it.
Sure.
That said, I do like the idea of having a place where I can see what we did on birthdays, because I adore Christmas. And what I adore about Christmas are the
putting things in a tin.
Are the traditions. Like, I find Christmas Day itself to be kind of a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the like lead up to Christmas, the anticipation, the traditions, the caroling, all that stuff.
You're always going over to the chimney and looking up there to see if anyone's coming down.
That's right. I just can't wait. But I wonder if I could cultivate that same kind of anticipation around traditions and things at other times of the year, if only I could like remember what we did the year before.
Molly, that is a fucking brilliant segue to the thing I was going to say next.
Oh,
I'm
great.
So proud of us.
Oh, good. Okay, what are you going to say?
Okay, so back in 2020, a year you may remember, I don't remember exactly. I wish wife of the show Lori was here to like tell exactly what her friend said, her friend's kid said. Her friend Darsa had been like cooking like good dinners at home because like it was a pandemic, everyone was at home. She was like doing grocery orders and like just making everyone's favorites because what else are you going to do? And one of her kids said, "Mom, it seems like we're really eating kingly lately, and we love this so much that like we immediately like incorporated this into our vocabulary and." Really, I think have like kind of stuck with the idea of eating kingly ever since then, that like, you know, life is short and like the shit could go down at any time. Why not be like eating your favorites most of the time?
Yes.
And so that's what we kind of like without like, you know, being like dogmatic about it. Like that's what I try and do is like, you know, cook things that are people's favorites.
Yeah.
And so because of that, there isn't like much of a difference between like celebration food as something you look forward to and like everyday food. Cause like, you know, December and I had mapo tofu like that I made for dinner the other night, which is probably the best thing that I make. And was like, we're not going to get better food than this anywhere else.
It's true. And I think, I mean, if I can like talk about this from like a little bit of a serious angle for a second.
Sure.
I think some of it too is that I know that both you and I have and continue to work hard to divest from diet culture.
Yeah.
And I think too that at least for me, divesting from diet culture also means like not depriving myself. And so therefore every day has elements of what I think might have been celebration foods in my childhood.
Exactly.
Right.
So I've been realizing this year that like, I sort of like Lori and I went to Tokyo in spring and, you know, we did an episode about it and we had a wonderful time. And what I'm about to say is like the very definition of a first world problem, which is that we had such a nice time spending 2 weeks in Tokyo that every day since we got back, I'm like, man, I would be happier if we were like on vacation in Tokyo right now instead of at home doing like regular like every day to day stuff. And like our life here is excellent. Like it's fine. That's sort of like how vacations work, I think. And there's mm-hmm. no, there's
oh,
no
I,
like,
yeah, I think that's like baked in to
yeah.
vacation.
But So I don't ever want to like get into that situation with food where I'm like, you know, I can't wait until like sometime in the future when I get to eat my favorite food again.
Oh, that, yes.
Yeah. Although we're taking December back to college at the beginning of September, or like right around the time you're hearing this episode. And we are going for bistro night at a bistro in Bellingham that December and I went to before that was so good. And I'm really excited about that.
But I want to clarify, too, that what I think that is like giving yourself things to look forward to.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, part of living well.
We should turn this episode
in a life that is otherwise can be quite like mundane and repetitive, right? Yeah. So we have to give ourselves things to look forward to, but it doesn't mean that you're going to deprive yourself of tasty food until then, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we need to turn this episode into a best-selling self-help book.
Oh, great. Let's call it Eating Kingly.
Let's call it Eating Kingly. It's going to be one of those books where there's like one like pithy aphorism on every page so we don't have to work too hard.
Oh, I thought you were going to say there's going to be one pithy aphorism, but we're going to make a whole book out of it.
Well, I mean, yes, of course.
Anyway, no, not to get preachy, but I do think about this because I think that for me as a child, celebration foods were often things that I didn't have on a regular basis, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is inherently what celebration food is, I think, most of the time. It's special stuff. But yeah, for me as an adult, it's not a line I've been interested in drawing.
What if we called the book Make Every Day a Celebration?
Oh, wow. That's brilliant.
Pretty
I've never
good,
heard
right?
that before.
Yes.
Anyway,
wait, what if we called it Bloom Where You're Planted?
Oh, I love that. Oh my God, we should totally make
we
like bumper
totally
stickers.
We should totally trademark
Oh, let's make fridge magnets.
Yes, let's make
T-shirts.
I feel like fridges have been getting less magnetic lately. Have you noticed this?
I don't mean
my fridge has been like slowly losing its magnetism over time. I think like I feel like people want like stainless steel appliances that are
totally
like,
true.
Less likely
but this has been happening for a while.
No, it just started today.
Oh, okay.
I've identified the trend.
Anyway,
I'm a trend spotter.
I love this question, Mish and Maddie, because it really made me think about like what is celebration food and what do I want celebration food to be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think sort of where we're coming down is like we want celebration food to be like different enough to like mark the celebration and be a tradition, but not like better food that you only get to enjoy like the really good food a couple times a year.
Yeah. Well said.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit beddys.com. That's BEDDYS.com.
Matthew, we've got some spilled mail.
It's from listener Megan, who writes, "Does your nighttime snack / dessert change seasonally? I've noticed that certain nighttime snacks that I favor in the fall, winter, tea, cookies, crunchy snacks like pretzels, just don't sound as good to me in the summer. Right now, I'm all about ice cream bars, sparkling water, and popcorn. It makes sense, of course, because of the change in temperature, but I wondered if anyone else is the same. Thanks for the show, listener Megan."
That's a great question, and it's interesting. I love, for one thing, that listener Megan includes both like sweet and savory things in her evening snack repertoire. For me, the short answer is it doesn't change seasonally. Mm-hmm. I would just say I go through phases.
Yeah.
Like right now, there's a particular chocolate bar I'm really into. The Tony's Choco Lonely Sea Salt and Almond.
Do you know the story behind that name? Because
no,
I don't.
I don't. June asks me at least once a month what the story is, and I don't know. Anyway, I think that other brands of dark chocolate with almond and sea salt can either be like too salty or the size of the almond chunks are wrong. In this case, it's all perfect. And I freaking love this bar of chocolate. So right now, or maybe for like the last 2 months, I've really been in a rut with that. But then I'll go through an ice cream period where I have ice cream every single night for like a month.
Yeah.
and then I'll kind of fall off of that. So for me, it's not so much seasonal, although I do definitely relate to having tea at night in certain seasons and not in others.
I like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say mine does not vary seasonally that much, although I certainly enjoy like a fruity popsicle in the summer, and I'm not going to get a fruity popsicle in the winter. Especially like those, what are the ones,
you know,
that one brand that like tastes a little more like fruit than like
is
a popsicle.
Outshine.
Yeah. Thing. Yes. The one that was, created by Soundgarden.
What I was going to say is that, well, I have a question actually.
Yeah.
Does what you want as your snack/dessert, does it vary throughout the day? Like for instance, I would never have a fruit popsicle for dessert at night.
Oh, I often do.
I would have a fruit popsicle after lunch, big time.
Yeah, I might do both.
No, I never would choose it after dinner. After dinner, I would want chocolate, or if I had something that involved fruit, it would need to be like a fruit, like a cobbler or something like that.
Yeah, I would say like my most frequent snack is nuts, and especially hazelnuts. Mm-hmm. I try and keep those on hand at all times, any time of year. Ice cream is definitely a year-round thing around here. Mm-hmm. There are some cereals that I really enjoy snacking dry. So if that's in the house, I will snack on those, like Frosted Flakes, certainly.
Oh, Frosted Flakes.
And Corn Chex. Corn Chex is great dry snack.
Okay.
Whereas I think I enjoy Frosted Mini Wheats a lot as a milk cereal, but it will tear up your mouth if you eat them dry.
Yeah, it'll really mess with you. But I have eaten a lot of dry Frosted Mini Wheats.
Sure.
I remember actually on our honeymoon, Brandon and I ate like boxes of dry Frosted Mini Wheats while driving through BC.
Wow.
I know. So sexy. No, but I distinctly remember being in like a ferry line, like along the Sunshine Coast or something, like digging handfuls of Frosted Mini Wheats out of the box.
You know what? Listener Megan mentioned sparkling water. One thing that I have been having recently, because it's in the house and because it's been hot and like I would never have in the winter, is Lori, I think I mentioned this on a recent episode, got me a little thing of like drops of concentrated Tropical Punch Kool-Aid. And it's this tiny bottle that contains an infinite amount of Tropical Punch Kool-Aid mix. Oh, I've gotten like 25 glasses out of it at least.
What did she buy this for? Like, so that, could she know you really like?
Oh, because I said, you know what? I haven't had in a long time Tropical Punch Kool-Aid. I wonder if it's still the same. And she's like, well, I will get you some and we'll find out. And then she brought home this like concentrated sugar free. And I was like, this isn't going to be the same. It was exactly the same.
Wow.
And so I have been putting that into seltzer or club soda.
That's a good
idea. Pretty good when it's hot. I am starting to get sick of the flavor of Tropical Punch Kool-Aid. And I think that phase will be over if and when I ever finish the bottle.
Well, I have good news for you. I bet there is nothing in that bottle that's going to go bad. And you could probably just keep it in the fridge until next summer.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of snacks.
Yeah. What you snacking?
Hey, what you snacking? You got to tell me what you snacking. Or I'll release the Kraken. So what you snacking?
What you snacking? Speaking of like diet culture, so our household has been buying a lot of rice cakes lately.
Rice cakes are tasty.
Rice cakes are so delicious, but there's nothing that makes me feel like, I don't know, like somebody's going to think I'm on a diet more than having rice cakes
that
in my grocery cart.
Maybe unfair to rice cakes, it's but true. Also probably they are marketed that way, so maybe not that unfair.
Well, so everyone in my household, probably including Gilbert, though I haven't let him try, and Ames has not tried them yet, loves rice cakes with peanut butter. June also loves rice cakes spread with butter, which is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I'm not into that, but that's because I'm afraid of butter.
Okay. Ash makes like a stack of rice cakes spread with peanut butter.
Big a stack?
Like four rice cakes.
Wow.
And like puts it in a Tupperware and takes it to work as like their snack in addition to lunch
and whatever.
Oh, but
like they take
the layers off.
Right. No, I was imagining a stack of four and then like trying to like fit their mouth around it.
No.
like a Big Mac of rice cakes.
So our favorite is the Lundberg like thin stackers. Those are, it's a really good product. However, we haven't been able to find those in a while. So I've been buying Quaker lightly salted and they are extremely like puffy. Like it's a really delicate rice cake mouthfeel.
Okay.
Like really airy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Even more so than usual. So yeah, rice cakes and peanut butter.
Did it say on the package, was there like a starburst in it and said like, now even airier. Now even puffier.
Now with extra air.
Now, yeah.
Anyway, and we use a Jif Natural peanut butter, which okay. I love.
All right.
So there you go.
What am I snacking? Obviously, it's hazelnuts.
Okay. Hey, it's my week to do an Now But Wow. I wanted to mention a piece of writing by a local Seattle writer, Angela Garbus. This was in the Washington Post in early August. So about a month ago.
Yes, I read this also.
And it is a piece about her decision about maybe 7 months ago now to get sober from alcohol and what she described as pills. What I really loved about it is she wrote about a phenomenon that is so common among people I know, that many of us started drinking a lot more during COVID.
Sure.
For all kinds of reasons. And that even though we're no longer in lockdown, the habit has been hard to break. And for instance, we lost Rachel Marshall here in Seattle due to liver failure as a result of
alcoholism
that was exacerbated by COVID. And so what I really loved is Angela Garbus, who's a wonderful writer, also a wonderful reporter, the way that she wrote about this really vulnerably, particularly writing about like the lengths that she found herself going to continue this habit and keep it secret. And it was just really relatable. I think I think that there are countless people in my life who I don't know about who will be benefited by this.
Yeah.
Like people who I don't even know that they're struggling. And so I just really feel like she did a public service to put herself out there so vulnerably and in such a really vital and life-saving way.
Yeah, I think probably there are times when we could do a better job on this show, which does, you know, do alcohol as a subject sometime of like making it clear, like how normalizing not drinking.
Yeah.
Like that is 1,000% okay not to drink, and that this should be considered like a totally normal thing that you run into all the time, not like a weird thing.
I know, it's been really refreshing. Well, it's been interesting for me to notice that when, you know, because I know a lot of people who are not drinking, it's been so refreshing in many ways to notice that my mind doesn't automatically go to thinking, oh, they had a quote unquote problem, or to pathologizing it,
right.
Because I do think that it's so much more common now and so happily more common for people to not be drinking. And anyway, I very much related to what Angela wrote in this piece in the Washington Post, just in the way that it is so easy to have something become a habit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with the world we've been living in for the past few years. It's so easy to just want to like treat ourselves. And in the end, I know that I'm really glad to be thinking more about the ways that I treat myself so that I can make just different decisions now that I have more choices because we're not in lockdown.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like really exercising for the first time in a long time.
Yeah. No, I've been trying to exercise a lot more this summer because I love to walk and I am much more willing to do so in the summer. Yeah. So anyway,
just like how I'm more willing to drink tropical punch Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll link to that article. If you haven't read it yet, please go read it. I've also noticed that the Washington Post often uses paywalls.
Sure.
But I have not found that this piece is paywalled.
Okay.
And I wonder if that is on purpose because
we'll
it's like a
out.
Public service that she wrote this piece. So anyway, thanks to Angela Garbus for writing this, and go check it out. It's on the Washington Post. It was published on August 2nd.
All right. And we'll link to that in the show notes. Our producer is Abby Circatella. You already know about Molly's and My Stuff. You know how to rate and review a podcast.
You know where to find us on Reddit, but we'll tell you anyway.
It's everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Until next time.
Celebrate good times.
Come on. Celebrate good times? Come on. I'm Matthew Esterberg.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
I think that was pretty funny.
Okay.
Until next time, we're like a celebration for your face. Oh, no.
We're
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Beddys.com. That's BEDDYS.com.